The Effective Use of Means in Missionary Fields. January 25, 1899. It is the very essence of all right faith to do the right thing at the right time. God is the great master worker, and by His providence, He prepares the way for His work to be accomplished. He provides opportunities, opens up lines of influence, and channels for working. If His people are watching the indications of His providence and stand ready to cooperate with Him, they will see a great work accomplished. Their efforts, rightly directed, will produce 100-fold greater results than can be accomplished with the same means and facilities in another channel where God is not so manifestly working. Our work is reformative, and it is God's purpose that the excellence of the work in all educational lines shall be an object lesson to the people for the consummation of the last great work to save the perishing. In entering new fields, it is important that the work be so established that a correct representation of the truth shall be given. In all our plans for missionary operations, these principles should be considered. Certain countries have advantages that mark them as centers of education and influence. In the English-speaking nations, it is comparatively easy to find access to the people, and there are many advantages for establishing institutions and carrying forward our work. In other lands, such as India and China, the workers must go through a long course of education before the people can understand them, or they, the people. And there are great difficulties to be encountered at every step of the work. In America, England, and Australia, many of these impediments do not exist. America has many institutions to give character to our work. Similar facilities should have been furnished for England and Australia. In these countries, the Lord has able workmen, laborers of experience. These can lead out in the establishment of institutions, the training of workers, and the carrying forward of the work in its different lines. God designs that they shall be furnished with means and facilities. The institutions established would give character to the work in these countries and would give opportunity for the training of workers for the darker heathen nations. In this way, the efficiency of our experienced workers would be multiplied 100-fold. The duty of providing facilities for this work the Lord has in great measure laid upon the churches and institutions in America. These churches and institutions were built up by the labors and sacrifices of the Lord's servants. Large donations have been made to establish the institutions in Battle Creek and in other places. Now God calls upon them to use some of the means in their hands to forward His work in other lands. It all belongs to God. Every dollar is His, and He is not pleased with their neglect to do the work which so much needs to be done. By building up the institutions in the English-speaking countries, they would have several plants constantly increasing in usefulness and facilities. Thus, the great work for this time might be far more rapidly accomplished. The situation in Australia. When the General Conference sent me and my helpers to Australia, our people should have understood the situation and should have provided us with means and facilities for establishing the work in this country. For 7 years we have labored here. But except the publishing house in Melbourne, we have no institution that can give character to the work. In our school work, something has been done, but we have not yet the means for erecting our main hall, which is to contain the chapel and the recitation rooms. We have not means for the necessary improvement of the land and equipment of the buildings. The health work is in still greater need. We should have a sanitarium in some location near Sydney, with branches in Newcastle, and in some city in Queensland. But we have made scarcely a beginning. The building at Summerhill, which we are now using as a sanitarium, is in a good location, but it is not at all adapted for a health institution, and it has to be managed in a way that cannot make a correct impression upon the minds of those who patronize it. We might have a much larger number of patients if we only had a suitable building. Wealthy men come to our sanitarium, look at the miserably constructed bathrooms, and say, "I can never consent to take treatment in such a place," and they leave the institution disappointed. But the place is the best we could provide with the means at our command. We have to pay a high rent, and this eats up the funds which we might otherwise use for needed facilities. Little help will be given us by the doctors in this country. There is occasionally one who appreciates the principles and speaks well of our work, but the physicians generally do not want sanitariums established, and they will make it as hard for us as possible. The hospitals here are numerous, but the nursing is not on the best lines, and in some of them, patients are roughly handled. We should have an institution which is a commendable example of right arrangements and right methods, as well as of right principles. A good sanitarium here would count more in giving efficiency to our work than it could possibly do in America. But time is passing, and we have nothing to do with. In connection with the sanitarium in Sydney, a hospital is needed at Kurrenbong. This would furnish a retreat for convalescents and for a large class of patients who need the benefit of country air and surroundings. And nothing could be a more effective help in medical missionary lines. There is no physician at Kurrenbong or in all the surrounding districts. In sickness, the people have to send to Newcastle, 20 miles away, for a doctor, at an expense of $25 for a visit. The people are poor, and we are constantly called upon to give advice and treatment to the sick, and to minister to the needy and suffering in many ways. This work helpers connected with the hospital would be able to do. The hospital is needed at once. Dr. Kellogg has raised means for furnishing it, and we had hoped to erect it ourselves, but as yet we have not been able to accomplish this. Here we are in this new world, with only a very few churches, mostly composed of poor people who are not prepared to give financial aid to the work. How can we meet the requirements in establishing churches, schools, and conferences, and in building up the medical missionary work? We have been straining every nerve to meet the most pressing demands of the work just now. Help must be furnished for the erection of a house of worship for the Company of Believers just raised up at Brisbane, and very soon a church must be built at Newcastle. The Health Food Company must have help to erect a building for the work they are about to establish in Kurrenbong. The school is struggling to provide sufficient accommodation for its students for another term. And there is the work of helping the poor, lifting up the bowed down and oppressed, clothing the naked, and feeding the hungry, all of whom are just as precious in the sight of the Lord as the same class in America. So the work that we desire to do in erecting our hospital is still undone. Directions have come from Battle Creek to push forward the medical missionary work, to start a health institution, to put this work in the forefront. But we cannot make brick without straw. The actual state of new enterprises is closely watched in this country. In medical and educational institutions, the value of the work is estimated by the moral, intellectual, and financial forces that are engaged for their advancement. The fact that men of ability are forced to work in the manner that we have been compelled to do here determines in the eyes of the community the breadth and efficiency of the church that can permit such a state of things to exist. It was not the design of God that our work in this country should be so hard and advance so slowly. It is His purpose that there shall be a true pattern in Australia, a sample of how other fields shall be worked. The work should be symmetrical and a living witness for the truth. God would have us cherish a noble ambition. He desires that the character of our work shall be in harmony with the great truths we are presenting to the world. Everything that shall be done here should be solidly established, as an object lesson to be applied to spiritual things. The work should be such as to inspire students and those who are to become missionaries with hope, zeal, and sanctified ambition, and put new life into the elements found in this new world. But men, if left to work at cross purposes with God, will spoil the web. While we have been wading through difficulties and constantly handicapped for want of means, large institutions in America are continually adding to their already abundant facilities. They are absorbing donations that are sorely needed in missionary fields and are expending means in lines of work that will not accomplish 1/100th part of what might be accomplished with the same means and facilities in this country. Means have been absorbed in various impulsive movements that do no real good. But if for every expenditure you could show good results, that would not change the principles you should work upon. You were helped in raising funds to make a beginning, and now God requires you to restrict your supposed wants and give of your abundance to start the work in this new world. A contrast. While I was in Queensland, our present situation was presented to me by the figure of a building in process of erection. The builders were full of earnestness and determination to complete the work, putting into it their very best efforts. But the second time I came to look at the building, it was not half completed. Yet the builders had gone to other work. I said, "What does this mean?" The answer was, "We began to build, but were not able to finish. We had no money with which to purchase material and had to stop building." Again, an illustration was presented before me. There were elaborate buildings, abundant facilities, and many plans for new improvements. I asked, "Who owns these buildings?" The answer was, "They are supposed to be the Lord's property." "Well, who owns that building not yet half completed?" "Oh, that too is the Lord's building, but the workers could not complete it, for they had nothing to build with." This represents the comparative situation of the work here and in America, the great lack in one place and the superabundance in the other. My teacher said, "This is chargeable to the devising of men, but no reflection should be cast upon God. The abundance in one locality was amply sufficient for completing the unfinished building and providing facilities for carrying on the work in other localities. God is not partial. He does not work in this way. The stewards entrusted with the outlay of his means chose to build up that which was under their own supervision. But the same enterprise in the New World of Australia, they leave in the condition represented by the unfinished building. Never should God's stewards show such marked selfishness and partiality. Such policy and principles are wholly worldly. They should find no entrance among God's people. The Lord is dishonored before the world and before the heavenly universe. That house must be built. The sanitarium in Sydney must be put in working order. The Lord never works capriciously. He designed that his work should stand before the world more evenly proportioned. At the Brisbane camp meeting, and during our visit to Rockhampton, our brethren were raising money to carry on the work of building the college hall for the school at Kooranbong, work which had come to a standstill for want of funds. Our brethren in Queensland are poor and have large families to support. While they were being drawn upon to raise the amount apportioned to their colony, they were told of the promise made by the General Conference that for every pound raised in this country, the conference in America would donate a pound. In the night season, I found myself presenting these matters before our brethren in America. I told them what poverty existed in this country. I dreamed that one of our stewards brought in the amount collected from men, women, and children in Queensland. The promise of our American friends that we should receive pound for pound had encouraged these hard-working people in Brisbane to give to the very utmost of their ability. Then the responsible brethren in America turned to the ones who were so anxiously waiting to see what they would do. They said, "We thought you understood that we cannot now fulfill our promise to duplicate your gifts. Circumstances have made this impossible." I find myself waking up in the night and crying, "O Lord, pity thy poor people, whose managers do not consider the wants of the cause in this land. They cannot see afar off. God has waited for you in America to send your gifts where the fields are white for harvest. Should you not have some thought as to how you could gather from your conferences the means which you promised our school, giving us pound by pound, according to that which we could raise? Shall that agreement be broken, when by strong appeals the means are gathered in here from those who are sacrificing almost the necessities of life? Have our brethren no thought with reference to all these workers, so crippled and bound about? We can see the great harvest field, but are almost without facilities for gathering in the sheaves. Shall the cold-hearted, unbrotherly neglect manifested by our American brethren continue? God has bidden us to call, and call again. He says, 'Break up this calculating policy. The means are mine, the work is mine.' Are our brethren afraid that we cannot possibly use the means to such advantage as they can use it? Let them try us. The Lord's instruction." I seemed to be in a meeting where our necessities were being reviewed. We were considering what should be done. One stood up among us, and the word of the Lord was spoken. "Those in America can relieve the situation here, and should have shared with you their abundance years ago. The sanitarium at Battle Creek has been blessed of God. He has imparted to it abundantly, and in its prosperity, it might impart to the work he has signified should be done in Australia. The managers there could have done a large work in establishing and equipping a sanitarium in Australia, had they placed themselves in the situation of the workers in this field. I was bidden. Bear the message clear and definite. God demands of them a work which should have been done when I sent my workers to break new ground in Australia. While the aggressive warfare was being carried on, and the light given upon health reform, institutions should have been established to give character to the work. The sanitarium at Battle Creek could and should have given of her abundance to relieve the situation in Australia. The neglect to do this has placed us years behind. Of all countries, Australia most resembles America. It is her sister. All classes of people are here, and the truth has not been resented and rejected. There are thousands of honest souls praying for light. God's watchmen are called to stand on the walls of Zion, and to give the warning, the morning cometh, and also the night wherein no man can work. Isaiah 21, verse 12. John 9, verse 4. While the angels are holding the four winds, a message is to enter every field in Australia as fast as possible. There is no time to be lost. The Lord says to His people in America, "When I send my servants to establish my work in a new field and build up the interests essential to give it character, I call upon my people to sustain that work with their prayers and with their means. Because they have neglected to do this, the appearance presented by the health institution in Australia is objectionable. It is not a proper object lesson, for it is no just representation of the truth. The medical mission work in that country, which should have been a noble work, is a work of which God is ashamed. The testimony borne by such meager representations brings the most sacred truth into disrepute. It dishonors God. When my servant, whom I have called to make known my will, was sent to Australia, you in America should have understood that you had a work to do in cooperation with her. Who was it that carried out my directions in laying the foundations of the institutions in America, which have grown to such large proportions? And when my servant was sent to establish the work in a new field, could you not see that he who owns all the gold and silver was calling for your cooperation? You had obtained a standing fully abundant and ample. And when the work was to begin in another field, I would be with my servant to indicate the work, and you should have been ready to aid in lifting up the standard of truth by precept and example in a way that would recommend it to a gainsaying world. My watchmen are to call upon all to come to the gospel feast, to do high service for the Master. Could you not discern that when the same work was entered upon in Australia, it required means? The God of heaven has been dishonored. You have found a place to invest means in various enterprises, as though it was a virtue to leave my work in other lands to struggle in poverty and nakedness. You have not shared your abundant facilities as you might and should have done, even though the sacrifice required might appear large to you. If you have a share in the world's redemption, you must consider the workings of God. In Australia, it has required a great sacrifice to establish the medical work, even in a meager way, while you have had everything, and yet continue to purchase that which you could do very well without. Place your money where the work of God demands help, that the medical missionary work in that new field may be made a success. The work in Australia should have been placed on such a basis that after a time it might become self-sustaining. Upon whom has the Lord for so many years laid the burden and travail of soul for the work in America? Who has borne the burden and wretchedness of the people who are constantly working at cross purposes with God? The needs and errors of the laborers in responsible positions have called for a heavy, soul-wearing work. Did you suppose that any amount of wages could be a recompense for this? Nothing that earth can give is of sufficient value to recompense the travail and burden of soul, the agony of mind, that has been felt in seeing the people endangering the work of God and making it necessary for him to withdraw his prospering hand from the publishing association and from the conference.
Then the test came upon the sanitarium. God has given them prosperity, not to be a means of self-exaltation, but that they might impart of their substance. When my servants were sent to Australia, you should have understood that God would work through them, and you should have exercised liberality in apportioning means to advance the work. The medical missionary work should, ere this, have been established upon a solid foundation. There should be no withholding of means. the Lord has let his chastening hand fall upon the Review and Herald office because they would not heed his voice. Self-sufficient managers hedged up the way that his work should not advance. The Lord now calls upon the Battle Creek Sanitarium to extend their work and to assist in placing the health institution in Australia upon a proper basis and make it a signal to exalt the truth. The time has come when no physical, mental, or moral power is to be wasted or misapplied. The Lord would have you no longer confined to a few places at home all the great facilities that concern the moral and spiritual advancement of His work. The word of command is, go forward. You to whom I have given much are called upon to impart. Place your means where it will help now in giving light to darkened nations and to the islands of the sea. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, I have spared your life to do my work, and wherever I send you, go, and I will send mine angel with you. In no case should you be feeble in your request for the advantage of means. Wherever I send you, go, and speak my words. I will be thy mind, I will be thy judgment. All the advantages are mine. The means and facilities are mine, and there should be no withholding. But selfishness, a desire to control, has kept the advantages in one place, so that everything is overbalanced. Call for the means God designed you to have long ago. Hold up my banner. Give honor to no human instrumentality, but to God, that my name may be a praise in the earth. The Lord, He is God, and before Him there is no other. My work in Australasia has been greatly hindered. Money has been used unwisely in the great centers, so that there is distress for means to build up the work in new places. But go not forth in hesitancy. I will be with you. Ask of my people the means that should have gone to advance the work in the Australasian field, the new world to which I have sent you. Those who stand in responsible places in the work need wisdom in regard to the best methods of proclaiming the last message of mercy to the world. I have a work to be done in Victoria, in New South Wales, in all the Australasian fields. Call for the means which ought to have been flowing there, where there are so few facilities to build up my kingdom, where it will tell the most in magnifying my name. Again, the light given me is, the Lord has sent you to take hold of this work. What you have done in America under the direction of God is to be done in planting the standard of truth and building up the work in Australia. In America, they should know that you need to be supplied with the means required for the work. You have been too slow in calling for the help that is essential. The work should be established in this country, and it will be, for thus the Lord has said. We might be years in advance if our brethren in America had stood unflinchingly to their duty to hear and obey the word of the Lord. Let no more time be lost. You who have so many advantages do your work unselfishly. It is God's work we are doing, and you will not find the work in your hands restricted if you follow the will and word of God. Share your advantages with us in this field, that the work may stand on a true basis and have the influence and character it should possess. Your minds may not now be prepared to see the importance of surrendering yourselves to do what ought to have been done when we were appointed to come to this field. You may not be able to see all the particulars involved in this request of God to impart. But the special work has been laid out, and you are called upon to do your God-given duty in our onward march in this country by furnishing us with facilities for our work. Christ's dignity and office work are in imposing such conditions as He pleases. His followers are to become more and more a power in the proclamation of the truth as they draw nearer to the perfection of faith and of love for their brethren. God has provided His divine assistance for all the emergencies to which our human resources are unequal. He gives the Holy Spirit to help in every strait, to strengthen our hope and assurance, to illuminate our minds and purify our hearts. He means that all sufficient facilities shall be provided for the working out of His plans in this field. A misapplied message. The message, "Sell that ye have, and give alms," is now to be given. Luke 12, verse 33. But there are many who do not understand the object of this message. It is not the purpose of God that the revenues of the church shall be largely absorbed in the work for the poor and outcast classes. This work might be presented in such a way that every dollar would be drawn from our people, and there would be no resources left for aggressive warfare in new fields. But our brethren in America who were engaged in medical missionary lines can, by appealing to the outside people, obtain help, because theirs is not a denominational work. They should not draw their funds largely from our churches. The resources of the church are needed to support the gospel ministry and to carry forward the work in new fields. The special work for this time is not to be restricted under the plea of giving to the poor. A lesson on this point is given in Christ's words to Mary at Simon's feast. In gratitude for her brother's restoration to life, and in full faith in Christ as her Savior, Mary broke her alabaster box of precious ointment and poured its fragrant contents on the head and feet of her Lord. Indignation was expressed at the supposed waste. Some, even of Christ's own disciples, who ought to have known better, said, "To what purpose is this waste?" They thought that the ointment was thrown away when poured upon his head and his feet. This ointment might have been sold for much, they said, and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Matthew 26, verse 8 to 13. Was anything wasted in breaking the box of ointment as a gift to Jesus? That gift was no waste. It is true that the ointment might have been sold for bread and clothing. Thus, a small number of destitute persons might have been fed for a short time, but it would have remained to be seen whether they would have been really benefited. Mary could not have bestowed that gift, which to her seemed a faint representation of Christ's boundless love. Mary's act was immortalized, for it showed her love for her Savior. Christ Himself bound up that sacrifice of love with His own sacrifice, the greatest the world has ever seen. Mary represents the church, and her act has a lesson for the church in all ages. Christ has not bidden us bestow all our labor and all our gifts upon the poor. We have a work to do in behalf of those who are fulfilling His commission. "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16, verse 15. The increase of the ministry will require an increase of means, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Bear in mind, my brethren in America, that the Lord requires of you self-sacrifice. The sacrificing is not all to be done by one class. There is altogether too much spasmodic work. When you expend money, consider, am I encouraging prodigality? When you give to the poor and wretched, consider, am I helping them or hurting them? I understand that a plan has been thought of for the erection of additional buildings in Battle Creek to accommodate the poor. God has not laid the burden of this work upon His people. The churches should not be sapped of their funds for such an enterprise. The special work to be done at this time, no interest must interpose to hinder. Think of the necessities of our mission fields throughout the world. The London mission is in distressing need of help. There is a most solemn and important work to be done in that vast city. God designs that His workmen there shall have advantages to do some of the same work which Christ did when He was ministering in this world. So in Scandinavia and in the Central European field, means are required to advance the work in its different lines. The Lord has presented to me that the enemy is still seeking with all his power to center the work in Battle Creek, contrary to the Word of God. A movement to erect more buildings there and to gather in more people who might better never see Battle Creek will bring results for evil that are not now foreseen. Not all the institutions now at Battle Creek should have been there. Our people have found excuse after excuse for establishing new enterprises and erecting more buildings, but these excuses are no more valid with God than are those now urged for the enterprise contemplated that is not the way of the Lord. Our churches are barely able to hold their ground against opposing forces. But they are told that if they take hold of the work for the poorest classes, the Lord will bless them. But no blessing will come to any enterprise that has against it the Lord's plain, "Thou shalt not." and God has long been warning His people not to center any more responsibilities in Battle Creek. The present time is burdened with eternal interests. We are to unfurl the standard of truth before a world perishing in error. God calls for men to rally under Christ's blood-stained banner, give the Bible to the people, multiply camp meetings in different localities, warn the cities, and send the warnings far and near in the highways and byways of the world. Our brethren have not discerned that in helping us to do this work, they would be helping themselves. That which is given to start the work here will result in strengthening the work in other places. As your gifts free us from continual embarrassment, our labors can be extended. There will be an ingathering of souls, churches will be established, and there will be increasing financial strength. We shall have a sufficiency not only to carry on the work here, but to impart to other fields. Nothing is gained by withholding the very means that would enable us to work to advantage, extending the knowledge of God and the triumphs of truth in regions beyond. However large the income or the possessions of any person, any family, or any institution, let them remember that they are only stewards, holding in trust the Lord's money. All profit, all pay, our time, our talents, our opportunities, are to be accounted for to Him who gives them all. The Lord would not have the first thread of selfishness woven into the fabric of His work. He is constantly proving us to see if our work is free from selfishness and pride. Those workers will have the richest reward who prove that they love God supremely and their neighbor as themselves. The spirit of covetousness and selfishness, like threads drawn into the web, has been working in our American institutions until the spirit that should control them has been lost sight of. This has deprived them of great blessings. If the workers in America had imparted to others of their great mercies, they would have seen prosperity in England. They would have sympathized with the workers who are struggling with difficulties there, and would have had the heart to say, not only in word, but in action, "All ye are brethren." Matthew 23, verse 8. The strengthening of the work in English-speaking countries would have given our laborers a hundredfold more influence than they have had to plant the standard of truth in many places. An appeal for help. Now at the beginning of the year 1899, seeing the work that might have been done in this field and that is not done, and knowing the will of God in the matter, I appeal to my brethren in America. I can hold my peace no longer. I say to our churches, if you have property and lands or money consecrated to the work of God, we need a portion of it just now. I ask you to send us help without delay. Your gifts need not pass through any conference organization. The more the people in Battle Creek have had to work with, the more they have sought to gather, and the less they have felt the necessity of advancing the work in other English-speaking countries. The more these stewards can gather from the churches, the less they feel like sharing with the workers who have toiled faithfully in other fields. Let your liberalities come to us direct. You owe the Lord much, vastly more than you comprehend or can ever compute. Will you recognize this obligation? God will recognize every effort made to help us in lifting the standard of truth in every city and in every suburb. One of the most effective aids in bringing the light to the people here will be a well-equipped sanitarium. In this enterprise, the boards and managers of our sanitariums in America have a special duty to help us. Let the help be given while there are those of experience here to manage the interests of the work. The Lord, who has made you beneficiaries of His grace and recipients of His bounty, now calls upon you to withdraw some of the means from the varied channels to which it is constantly flowing. Let it be put where it will make a showing, distinct and decided, in this missionary field. The Battle Creek Sanitarium has received thousands of dollars in donations, which should be passed over to institutions in other countries which are struggling for an existence. And more than this, the profits of the sanitarium should be largely used in helping similar institutions in needy circumstances. I am now directed by the Lord to call upon you to do something for us, and to do it without delay. Some division of your funds must be made for this purpose.
Is it not just as important that the half-finished building represented to me should have money and facilities to complete it, as it was that the institutions in Battle Creek should be built up? Have not I a right to demand in the name of the Lord that this should be done? Will you not help us to gain a foothold here, that we may stand as co-workers with you in America? The enemy will invent every device in his power to prevent the light from shining in new places. He does not want the truth to go forth as a lamp that burneth. Will our brethren consent that he shall any longer succeed in his plans for hindering the work? Time is rapidly passing into eternity. Will anyone now keep back from God that which is strictly his own? Will anyone refuse him that which, though it may be given without merit, cannot be denied without ruin? The Lord has given to every man his work, and the holy angels want us to be doing that work. As you shall watch and pray and work, they stand ready to cooperate with you. When the understanding is worked by the Holy Spirit, then all the affections act harmoniously in compliance with the divine will. Then men will give to God his own, saying, "All things come of thee, and of thine own we freely give thee." See 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. May God forgive my brethren that they have not done this. The very being who fills all heaven with splendor, and who is worshipped by the heavenly host, came to our earth, humiliating himself as a man, that we might be exalted to share his glory. Shall not we also sacrifice that others may be lifted up? I have tried to set things before you, but the attempt falls far short of the reality. Will you refuse my plea? It is not I who appeal to you. It is the Lord Jesus, who has given his life for this people. In my request, I obey the will, the requirement, of God. Will you improve this opportunity of showing honor to God's work here, and respect for the servants whom he has sent to do his will in guiding souls to heaven? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 15.